على آله وسلم. اللهم ارزقنا النية الحسنة. A few people, they answered يعني in a good way. Yeah, I wouldn't, يعني doesn't mean but still it wasn't the complete answer, and this is not what we are aiming at. Not at which we are aiming. We are not aiming. We don't. يعني our purpose, our goal is not to have three people who can teach properly. Is it our goal? No. So. طيب. ذكرنا في الحصص الماضية أركان الحج وأركان العمرة. ومحرمات الإحرام وواجبات الحج. In the previous sessions, we talked about the integrals of Hajj, the integrals of Umrah, what becomes prohibited when one goes into the state of Ihram, and what is considered wajib and not an integral in al-Hajj. وذكرنا الفدية أنواع الفدية الواجبة في الحج. We talked about the different types of expiations which are due in some cases in الحج. بقي أن نذكر مسألتين تتعلقان يعني تذكران عند ذكر الحج في العادة. Still, we need to mention, we want to mention two issues which are usually mentioned when talking about al-Hajj. المسألة الأولى أنه يحرم صيد الحرمين حرم مكة وحرم المدينة. يعني لا يجوز الصيد اصطياد الحيوان البري الوحشي في حرم مكة المأكول البري الوحشي في حرم مكة ولا في حرم المدينة. The first case is that it is not permissible to hunt an edible animal, wild animal that is, within the borders of Haram Mecca and Haram al-Madinah. Haram Mecca له حدود معلومة وحرم المدينة ما بين جبل عير وجبل ثور. The Haram of Mecca has well-known signs to indicate it, to indicate where it ends from the different sides. As for Haram al-Madina, it is what is between Mount Ayr and Mount Thawr, two mountains on two sides of Al-Madinah. كذلك يحرم قطع شجر الحرمين وقلع نباتهما. Likewise, it is prohibited to cut off the trees in those two harams, in Haram Mecca and Haram Al-Madina, and to pull out the plants, their plants. فمن فعل ذلك فعليه ذنب. The one who does that is sinful. وإن فعله في حرم في حرم مكة فعليه الفدية. And if he does that within the borders of Haram Mecca, an expiation is due on him. من قتل الصيد في حرم مكة فعليه أن يذبح مثله من الأنعام الإبل أو البقر أو الغنم ويوزعه على فقراء الحرم. The one who does that, who kills, the one who hunts an animal, a wild edible animal, within the border of Haram Mecca, needs to pay an expiation, which is in this case to slaughter an animal among camels, cattle, sheep and goats that is most similar to the animal that he killed. Then he distributes the meat to the poor people who are within Haram Mecca. وإن قطع أما الصيد إن قتل الصيد في حرم المدينة فلا فدية عليه الإثم دون الفدية. Now if he kills such animal within حرم المدينة, he is sinful but no expiation is due on him. وأما إن قطع الشجرة الكبيرة في مكة فمع الإثم عليه أن يدفع بدنه إبل. Now if one cuts off a big tree in Mecca, within Haram Mecca, he is sinful and he needs to pay a camel as an expiation. أما الشجرة الصغيرة فيدفع فيها شاة. أما الشجرة الصغيرة فيدفع فيها شاة. As for the small tree, the expiation of cutting it down is one sheep. يعني الصغيرة المراد بها هنا التي حجمها السبع الكبيرة. We mean here by a small tree, the tree that has 1/7 of the size of a big one. أما فيما دون ذلك إن كان حجمها دون ذلك فيدفع قيمتها. Now if the size of the tree is less than that, the expiation would be the value of that tree. هذا كله في مكة. all of this in Haram Mecca. أما في حرم المدينة فلا فدية وإن ثبت مع ثبوت الإثم. Now if this is done within حرم المدينة, no expiation is due, but the one who does it is sinful. لا حاجة. من قطع الشجرة؟ ليس هذا قطع الشجرة الذي فيه الفدية التي ذكرناها. ما عندي جواب. ومثل مكة والمدينة في الحرمة واد في الطائف يقال له وادي وج. The same judgment in what pertains to the sin of hunting and cutting down applies, the same judgment applies to a third place other than Haram Mecca and Al-Madina. It is a place in At-Ta'if, the area of At-Ta'if, that is called the Valley of Waj, Wadi Waj. It is mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أما بيت المقدس فليس له ذلك الحكم. As for Jerusalem, بيت المقدس, this judgment does not apply there. وما يقوله بعض الناس من تسمية بيت المقدس حرما ليس في محله. What some people say, they call Bayt al-Maqdis, they say, يقولون ثالث الحرمين, they say the third haram about Bayt al-Maqdis. This is not in place. Bayt al-Maqdis does not have the same judgment does not apply to Bayt al-Maqdis. إنما المسجد الأقصى مسجد له الأفضلية بعد المسجد الحرام والمسجد النبوي. Of course, المسجد الأقصى is the third best masjid on earth. كما أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. As the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام mentioned. لأن الصلاة فيه بخمسمائة من غيره. Because if one prays in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, he gets the reward of 500 prayers. For one prayer, he gets the reward of 500 prayers in other masjids. وهذا الحكم الذي ذكرناه ينطبق على الحلال والحرام. The aforementioned judgment applies to both the one who is in the state of ihram and the one who is not in the state of ihram. So whether the person is in the state of ihram or not, it is not permissible for him to cut down the trees of Mecca and Al-Madina or to hunt the wild animals, the edible wild animals in Mecca or in Al-Madina. ويستثنى بعض النباتات. Some plants are exempted from this ruling. مثل الإذخر وما شابه. like a plant called al-izkhir and some other plants. بلى ليس الذي من خارج. And when we talk about the plants of within Haram Mecca and Al-Madina, that is that grows originally in Mecca and Al-Madina. It does not mean if you bring with you a plant from outside Mecca and Al-Madina and you plant it there, you cannot pull it out later. We don't mean that. We mean the plants that grew originally in Mecca and Al-Madina. Yes. من خارج ليس له نفس الحكم. يعني for the area of Wajj, the valley of Wajj, it has the same judgment as Al-Madina. No expiation is due in cutting down the trees there or the like. No expiation is due, just as the ruling is in Al-Madina. The expiation is only if this is done in Mecca. The expiation is due if this is done in Mecca only. طيب هذه المسألة الأولى. This is the first case. إيه فوزي. Is in الطائف. In the area of الطائف. الطائف is an area close to Mecca. In the area of الطائف. المسألة الثانية تتعلق بزيارة قبر الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. The second case pertains to visiting the grave of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فإن زيارة قبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سنة بالإجماع. By consensus, it is a sunnah to visit the grave of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. كل الأئمة المجتهدين أجمعوا على ذلك. All the mujtahids, all the imams that reached the level of ijtihad had the consensus upon this issue. وهذا ينطبق على المقيم بالمدينة وعلى القادم من الآفاق من النواحي الأخرى. This applies to the one who lives in المدينة and to those who come there from other areas. حتى لو قصدوا بالسفر زيارة قبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Even if they travel with the intention to visit the grave of the Prophet. Even if they travel to Al-Madina for that, to visit the grave of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهي من القرب العظيمة. And this is a great type of good actions. This is a very good action. This is a way for one to get a lot of reward. جاء في الحديث الذي رواه الدارقطني وغيره أن الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام قال من زار قبري وجبت له شفاعتي. It is narrated by الدارقطني and others that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, من زار قبري وجبت له شفاعتي, which means the one who visits my grave, has earned my intercession. That is on the day of judgment. وهذا الحديث حديث حسن لغيره. حديث قوي حسن لغيره. This is a strong hadith which is classified as Hasan. Hasan for other than itself. It means it is a strong hadith. It is a reliable hadith. وَمَنْ حَرَّمَ السَّفَرَ بِقَصْدِ زِيَارَةِ قَبْرِ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم فَكَلَامُهُ مَرْدُودٌ لَا عِبْرَةَ بِهِ. And anyone who claims that it is prohibited to travel with the intention of visiting the grave of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام is wrong. And his statement has no weight at all. لأنه مخالف للإجماع, because it contradicts the unanimous agreement of the nation. ولم يقل أحد من الأمة, لم يقل أحد ممن ينتسب إلى الإسلام قط مثل هذه المقالة إلى أن ظهر رجل خبيث يقال له أحمد بن تيمية, فكان هو أول من ابتدع هذه البدعة. No one ever among those who consider themselves Muslims, no one ever said that it is prohibited to travel to visit the grave of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام until a man called Ibn Taymiyyah, Ahmad Ibn Taymiyyah, appeared, and he was the first one who came up with this ill statement. هذا الرجل عاش في القرن الثامن. This man lived during the 8th هجري سنتشري. قبله كل علماء الإسلام قالوا يسن لا بأس شيء حسن السفر لزيارة قبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Before him, all the scholars of Islam said that it is a good thing to travel to visit the grave of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. ثم هو خالف. Then he deviated from what the nation said. في زمانه رد عليه أهل العلم. When he said that, the scholars at his time refuted him. وانطفأت فتنته. And his sayings didn't spread. His ill statements didn't spread. إلى أن ظهر رجل من أكثر من 200 سنة يقال له محمد بن عبد الوهاب فأعاد أحيا فتنة ابن تيمية. Until a man appeared more than 200 years ago with the name of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he revived, if you want, the ill sayings of Ibn Taymiyyah. ثم أتباعه سيطروا على مكة والمدينة. Then his followers controlled Mecca and Al-Madinah. الحكومة البريطانية ساعدتهم حتى سيطروا عليها. The British government at the time helped them to control that area. فمنذ أن سيطروا عليها أعادوا نشر أفكار ابن تيمية وزادوا عليها أشياء باطلة حتى ابن تيمية ما قالها. Since they controlled that area, they spread again the ill statements and ideas of Ibn Taymiyyah, and they added to them other ill ideas of their own. فصاروا يقولون وينشرون يطبعون الكتب يوزعونها في البلاد وبغير هذه الطريقة ينشرون أنه لا يجوز السفر لزيارة قبر الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. Since then, they are trying to spread among the Muslims by different ways that it is not permissible to, by printing books, by spreading CDs, by different ways, that it is not permissible for one to travel to visit the grave of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. ومنذ بدأوا ذلك إلى الآن كل سنة ملايين المسلمين يسافرون لزيارة قبر النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. And since they started that, up till nowadays, every year millions of Muslims travel to visit the grave of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. قولهم لا يجوز الأخذ به. It is not permissible to adhere their saying. الحاكم روى في المستدرك من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ليهبطن عيسى بن مريم حكما مقسطا وليسلكن فجا حاجا أو معتمرا وليأتين قبري حتى يسلم علي ولأردن عليه السلام. Al-Hakim, in his book Al-Mustadrak, narrated from the route of Abu Huraira, radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet, alayhi salatu wassalam, said, لَيَهْبِطَنَّ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ حَكَمًا مُقْسِطًا وَلَيَسْلُكَنَّ فَجًّا حَاجًّا أَوْ مُعْتَمِرًا وليأتين قبري حتى يسلم علي ولأردن عليه السلام. Which means Prophet Isa, Jesus, is going to descend from the sky, from heaven. And he will be a just ruler. He will go to perform al-hajj following a certain route that the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam mentioned. And he is going to seek my grave, to come to my grave, to say Assalamu alaikum to me. And I will reply back to him. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام ذكر أن عيسى عليه السلام سيأتي إلى قبره ليسلم عليه. فكيف يقال بعد ذلك إن السفر بقصد قبر النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام معصية؟ The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام mentioned in this hadith that Isa alayhi salam is going to travel to seek saying Assalamu alaykum to the Prophet. He is going to travel seeking the grave of the Prophet to say Assalamu alaykum to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So how would one dare to say that it is prohibited to travel to visit the grave of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهذا الحديث صحيح صححه الحاكم ووافقه الذهبي. This is a صحيح حديث. الحاكم judged it as صحيح, and الحافظ الذهبي concurred with him. والذهبي يحبه الوهابية أتباع ابن تيمية. And take note that this Hafiz al-Zahabi, the Wahhabis like him. So he also said that this is a sahih hadith. كذلك رواه أبو داود الطيالسي. Also, الطيالسي narrated this hadith. وفي روايته بيّن أي طريق يسلك سيدنا عيسى. And in his narration of this hadith, it was specified which way عيسى عليه السلام is going to follow. What's the route that Isa is going to follow? في روايته ليسلكن فج الروحاء بين أي فج يسلك. In his narration, it is mentioned that Isa alayhi salam is going to follow the route of Ar-Rawha to get to Mecca. Ibn Taymiyyah wa atba'uhu yatamassakuna bihadithin sahih, lakin yufassirunahu ala ghayri ma'nah. ليمنع السفر لزيارة قبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Ibn Taymiyyah and his followers, they mention a hadith which is a sahih hadith, but they misinterpret it to say that it is prohibited to travel to visit the grave of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. هذا الحديث هو لا تشد الرحال إلا إلى ثلاثة مساجد: المسجد الحرام والمسجد الأقصى ومسجدي هذا. وقد رواه مسلم وغيره. This hadith is narrated by Muslim. It says, لا تشد الرحال إلا إلى ثلاثة مساجد: المسجد الحرام والمسجد الأقصى ومسجدي هذا. If literally translated, this hadith would mean one shouldn't travel except to three mosques: the Haram Mosque, the Aqsa Mosque, and my mosque. الوهابية يتمسكون بهذا الحديث، يقولون لا تشد الرحال إلا إلى هذه الثلاثة، ليس إلى القبر. The Wahhabis, they say, this is our proof. One shouldn't travel except to those three mosques, not to visit the grave of the Prophet. This is what they say. It is ظاهر جدا أن معنى الحديث ليس كما يقولون. It is very apparent that the hadith does not mean what they claim. لأن كل أحد يعرف أن السفر يجوز للتجارة، والسفر يجوز لطلب العلم، والسفر يجوز للنزهة، والسفر يجوز لزيارة الأقارب، والسفر يجوز لمجرد الرياضة. إذن وكل هذه ليست للمساجد الثلاثة. إذن ليس معنى الحديث كما قالوا. Everyone knows that it is permissible to travel to visit your relatives or friends or to do a business or to learn knowledge or simply to for leisure. Or just if you want to walk, you can walk for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days. Or even if you are bored of those who surround you, it is permissible to go away for certain time, isn't it? It is. Everyone knows that. Then, and all of those purposes are not the three mosques, are they? No. إذن ما معنى الحديث؟ الحديث فيه عبارة مقدرة. لا بد إذن أن يكون في الحديث عبارة مقدرة. Then, for sure, there should be something understood in this hadith without being mentioned. A certain restriction, which is not mentioned. يقدر في هذا الحديث لا تشد الرحال للصلاة في مسجد إلا إلى هذه المساجد الثلاثة. The statement which is not mentioned in the hadith but which is known that this is what it means, is to pray in a mosque. So the meaning of the hadith would be, one shouldn't travel to pray in a mosque except to those three mosques, Al-Masjid Al-Haram, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, and Masjid Al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ذكر المساجد في الحديث يدل على أن هذا هو المقدر. Mentioning the mosques in the hadith is a sign that this is the implied statement. ولما ذلك? Why is that? لما قال الرسول ذلك? Why the Prophet said that? لأن الثواب لا يضاعف إلا في هذه المساجد. ثواب الصلاة. Why the Prophet said that? Because if you pray in any mosque, you will get the same reward for the prayer, except if you pray in those three mosques. ويدل على هذا حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نفسه. What also stands a proof for this implied statement that the hadith means one should not travel to pray in a mosque, etc. What stands a proof for that is the hadith of the Prophet itself. لِأَنَّ النَّبِيَّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ رُوِيَ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ مِنْ طَرِيقِ أَبِي سَعِيدٍ الْخُدْرِي رضي الله عنه روى عنه الإمام أحمد من طريق أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه أنه قال لا ينبغي للمطي أن تعمل للسفر إلى مسجد تبتغى الصلاة فيه إلا أن يكون أحد هذه المساجد الثلاثة. الإمام أحمد narrated from the route of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, لا ينبغي للمطي أن تعمل إلى مسجد تبتغى الصلاة فيه إلا أن يكون أحد هذه المساجد الثلاثة, etc. Which means one should not prepare the animals, to ride them, to travel to a mosque, to pray in it, except if this mosque is one of the three mosques, Al-Masjid Al-Haram, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, and Masjid Al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ومعلوم أن أفضل ما يفسر به القرآن والحديث هو القرآن والحديث. And it is known that the best thing that interprets a verse or a hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام is a hadith, is another verse or another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فهذا الحديث, هذه الرواية التي رواها الإمام أحمد تفسر تلك الرواية التي رواها مسلم رضي الله عنهما. This narration narrated by الإمام أحمد interprets clearly the other narration narrated by Muslim. لذلك لا حجة في هذا الحديث لابن تيمية ولا للوهابية. This is why the Wahhabis and Ibn Taymiyyah, this hadith, the hadith of Muslim, does not support the claim of Ibn Taymiyyah and the Wahhabis. ولذلك قال الحافظ ابن حجر وهذا من أبشع المسائل المنقولة عنه أي عن ابن تيمية. This is why الحافظ ابن حجر in his explanation of Al-Bukhari said that this statement is among the worst statement copied from Ibn Taymiyyah. Among the most among the ugliest statements copied from Ibn Taymiyyah. فإن سألك سائل كان عقله ضعيفا يعني مع أن الأمر واضح لكن إن سألك سائل من قال إن أفضل ما يفسر به القرآن والحديث هو القرآن والحديث تقول له حفاظ الحديث قالوا ذلك. If a dumb person objects to you and the one who says that should be like that, the one who objects to this should be dumb. If a dumb person tells you, well, from where did you get it? Who said that the best thing to interpret a verse or a hadith is another verse or another hadith? Then you tell this person, Hufaz al-Hadith, the top scholars of hadith mentioned that. يقول لك مثل من, if he asks, like who? You tell him, like Al-Hafiz al-Iraqi. تقول له مثل الحافظ العراقي هو قال في ألفيته التي في الحديث وخير ما فسرته بالوارد. In his work, in his very famous work, that all the students of hadith study it, known to everyone among them. He authored around 1,000 verses of poetry to summarize the rules of hadith. In it, he mentioned this ruling. He said, وَخَيْرُ مَا فَسَّرْتَهُ بِالْوَارِدِ. This is a half line of poetry.
طيب. Yeah, because you usually use it.
طيب. This is the hadith narrated by Muslim. This is what basically the Wahhabis rely on. يعني they misinterpret it to rely on that. Muslim and Al-Bukhari and others, they narrated this hadith. Okay. لا تشد الرحال. This means one shouldn't travel. إلا إلى ثلاثة مساجد إلا إلى ثلاثة مساجد except to three mosques. طيب if the hadith means what the Wahhabis said, then this hadith would be a general one, isn't it? With a general judgment, isn't it? And if it is, it has a general ruling, then it would mean it is not permissible to make any travel at all, except to these three mosques. But all of us know that it is permissible to travel to other than those three mosques. All of us know that the general rule is traveling is permissible, except for certain cases, isn't it? Then it is not valid to say that this hadith has a general meaning. Okay? If it is said pertaining a specific category, what would this category be? This category would be al-masajid, the mosques. So one should not travel to pray in a mosque except etc. You see, here there is, I don't want to say a hidden statement, an implied statement, which is to pray in a mosque. Then you would have the meaning proper and in compliance with the rules of the religion. Now, why the implied statement would be to pray in a mosque? Well, because what's mentioned after that, the exception, is what? Three what? Mosques. So, this means that what's implied here is the mosques. And what stands proof for it also, the other narration narrated by Al-Imam Ahmad. Is it clear? كثير القاضي عياض منهم. Many scholars mentioned that it is sunnah to visit the grave of the Prophet by consensus. Many. Among them, Al-Qadi Iyad. Among them, Al-Qadi Iyad. If you take any book in any school that talks about Al-Hajj, the chapters that talk about Al-Hajj, most likely, even if it is a summary, you are going to find the section or a statement pertaining to visiting the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that it is sunnah. Those Wahhabis, they do not, of course they do not like for one to look highly to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. They do not like that. They have no هكي شو يعني قاسية قلوب قلوب قاسية hard hearts hard hearts some of them when they were told why do you say it is not permissible to travel to visit the grave of the prophet some of them said well he started it they meant that the prophet started that because he said alayhi salatu wassalam he dispraised the area of Najd from where they are so they said he started this hatred of the like because as it is narrated in Al-Bukhari An-Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam did not accept to ask Allah to bless the area of Najd. He asked Allah to bless the area of Al-Sham. He asked Allah to bless the area of Al-Yaman. Then a person said, وَنَجْدِنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Literally it means, and what about our Najd? The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام did not reply. He again said, Allahumma barik fi shamina wa yamanina. Which means, O Allah, bless our Sham and our Yemen. Then again that person said, wa najdina ya Rasul Allah. And again the Prophet did not reply. He repeated what he said. And then at the third time, he said, Minha yatlu'u qarnu shaytan. Which literally means, from there the horn of the devil comes up. فيها الفتن والزلازل. Tribulations occur in Najd. This is what the Prophet said, عليه الصلاة والسلام. Musaylim al-Kazzab, he was in Najd. من نفس قبيلته. And those Wahhabis, they are from the same tribe from which Musaylim al-Kazzab is. At the time of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, a delegate from that tribe came to the Prophet. It is called the tribe of Tamim. A delegation came from that tribe. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال لهم اقبلوا البشرى يا بني تميم which means do you carry it do you accept it if I give you a good news if the prophet tells you something like that what do you say do you know what they said They said, what are you going to give us? That is money or sheep or like. And when another delegation came from another tribe, immediately they said, yes. They did not hesitate for a moment. Those are the great grandparents. Of the Wahhabis. نعم.
Yeah.
So they said he started. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, yurwa anhu أنه كان يبرد البئي يعني يرسل شخصا فقط يعني يطلب منه أن يسلم له على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يرسله فقط لأجل هذا. عمر ابن عبد العزيز رضي الله عنه he used to send, it is narrated from him that he used to send a person only to give his salam to the Prophet. So that person would travel from Damascus to Al-Madinah just for that. Only for that. Just to tell, to stand there and tell the Prophet, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz sends you his salam. And those people, they say, it is haram. حتى هذا ايش اسمه؟ هذا خبيث. لا. الجزائري. أبو بكر الجزائري. حتى هذا أبو بكر الجزائري مرة كان في المسجد النبوي قال لا يستقيم أمر الإسلام حتى يهدم هذا الصنم وأشار إلى حجرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Even أبو بكر الجزائري, I think he's still alive among the Wahhabis, the famous Wahhabis. One day he was at the masjid of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He was giving a speech to the people. And then he said, the Muslims are not going to follow the proper rules of Islam until this idol would be destroyed. And he pointed to the chamber of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. He called it an idol. And they are proud of that. They are not ashamed of that. Subhanallah. In one place in a town in Ethiopia, there is a mosque where the Wahhabis pray there. They go there, they pray there. A sheikh there, a good sheikh, mashallah, told me a story. He said there was a man that sometimes his, yani, he was inclined to go and pray in that mosque sometimes. And I used to tell him, don't go there. Do not pray behind them. At one time, he was close to that mosque, so he entered the mosque to pray with them in Jama'ah. He said, this man, let me say it from the beginning. He said, this man came to me once, like terrified. And he told me, I will never go into to pray behind a Wahhabi. You always told me that. He said, I said, yes. He said, well, few days ago, I went into that mosque from which the mosque that you told me, don't enter it to pray behind them. He said, yeah. He said, I went there to pray behind them. I stood in the line. And then I saw a big black dog going from the left side of the imam. You know where the imam stands in the mihrab? A big black dog, terrifying one. He went from the left side of the imam and he started going like between those who pray there. Between them. Going between them. And he was heading towards me. So when I saw that, I ran away. He ran out. Yeah, he pulled the people away. He didn't care. And he went out running from the mosque. Yani, alhamdulillah, this man, this is how he understood. MashaAllah. Even if they say we are Muslims, they are not. They claim everyone else to be a blasphemer. Everyone else. So how could they be Muslims? Allah yarhamuna. Tayyib, do you have any questions? Tafaddal Ali. For what? What's the relation that they try to link? Yani, to. Yeah, well, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam explained it. Yeah, not as they did. Which means recite Al-Quran in your homes, etc. Don't. This is the time for you to do the good deeds. Don't go home just to sleep. Do good deeds in your homes. This is how the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام explained what he said. هذا الحديث إما أن يكون عاما أو خاصا. لو كان عاما لشمل إيش؟ لشمل كل أنواع السفر. وهذا غير صحيح. كل أحد من المسلمين يعرف أنه غير صحيح. إذن هو خاص. خاص بإيش؟ لابد أن يكون هناك شيء مقدر يدل هو خاص بإيش. هذا المقدر هو إلى مسجد للسفر للصلاة فيه. من أين يعرف أن المقدر هو المساجد؟ أن هذا خاص في المساجد ليس عاما في كل شيء. يعرف من ذكر استثناء المساجد بعد ذلك بعده ومن الرواية الأخرى. صحيح يا عبد الجليل. بلى إلا الإذخر ونحوه. كمان إذا أدخل نبتة إلى المدينة هذه ليس لها نفس حكم نبات المدينة ومكة. Which statement? and several of his books. One of them is called At-Tawassul wal-Wasila, and in other books. The scholars of, it's not that it is in his books, the scholars of his time, they refuted him about this issue. Tfaddal. ايه يعرفن معرفون ايه معروف يجوز لكن ليس سنة ليس شيئا حسنا ما فيه ثواب. If someone travels to other than those three mosques to pray there, it is not haram, but he doesn't get reward in that. This is not sunnah. تفضل كمان. Yeah. Yes. Since the time, يعني before the death of at the end of the time of the companions, the grave of the Prophet, the masjid, the mosque of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was expanded, so it included the grave of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And since that happened, they put something, they built they did it in a way to put a barrier between those who pray and the grave of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So yani when at one point the grave became in the qibla, in the direction of qibla of those who pray within the masjid of the Prophet after it was expanded, then they put a barrier, something like a barrier, so the one who's praying does not face directly the grave, because it is not a good thing to pray towards the grave without a barrier between you and the grave. So since that time, there was something that covers the grave of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And even before that, even when the grave was not included within the masjid, it was within the chamber of Aisha radiallahu anha. So she lived there. So they couldn't, يعني people wouldn't usually see the grave itself. بنية حسنة معناه النبي يشفع له في الآخرة. هذا أنا لا أزيد على ذلك. تفضل. هي صحيح. في بعض الروايات ورد الذي تقوله. ما شاء الله. طيب بارك الله فيكم. خلونا نهلل. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.